Welcome to Transmission Podcast. I'm your host, Cecilia Lynn Jacobs. For the next little while, we invite you to speculate on the possibility of life on Proxima B, the closest known planet outside of our solar system that has the potential to support life. In each episode, we question what would happen if we suddenly knew we were no longer alone in the universe, and what that would mean for humanity to become an interstellar civilization. Please, stay close. Thanks for joining us for a special promotional episode of Transmission Podcast. We join you now just days from the launch of the Senna from Coalition headquarters in Edinburgh. Up until now, everything we have discussed has centered around the scientific, political, and religious implications of the translations and this mission. But now, as the Coalition takes the last steps in launching the Senna mission to Lux Terra, it's time to celebrate. For all of us to pause and look at what we have already done to make this happen. This is the biggest collaboration of the human race to date. It incorporates the expertise of technicians and engineers across the planet, and even off-planet. Though the Coalition and the Senna crew still face many obstacles post-launch, the mission is happening, and we should stop and enjoy everything that means. So, what's it like to plan the party of the century? We spoke to M. Pirro, producer of the Senna launch party, to find out.
Hi there, Em. How are you doing today?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing quite well. So will you tell our listeners a little bit about who you are and what you're doing?
Yeah, absolutely. My name is Em Pirro. I am the lead organizer, producer for the launch party celebrating the departure of the Senna on its way to Proxima B.
And so how did you get involved in creating this launch party? This is a huge deal.
So I have been an event producer for a number of years. My background is in theater and performance. So for about the past 10 or so years, I've been doing independent projects in developing communities in the United States, Rust Belt cities, mid-sized cities, and am switching gears professionally and kind of through, you know, person A, person B, person C, I got looped into the mission and was brought in specifically to focus on this single event that is meant to kind of bring together, to bring together many of the arms and tendrils that have been at play in this project for a number of years.
That's really wonderful. So, what organization brought you into this mission?
Kind of reconfiguring the path through which my work was going to continue, I came across the Paris Trust and Paris Foundation, and I've been following this project for years. So if there was any way for me to be involved or take part in this work or contribute my background and skills to this vision for something greater, I was going to partake in any way that I could. So even though my background tends to be pretty varied, I've mentioned that I've done event producing. I'm also a practicing artist. This, you know, kind of bringing both my ideas and my experience with producing and administrative prowess, one might say, in addition to my values of connectivity and of community building and of, you know, kind of looking forward and looking beyond and looking outward, were things that seemed to synchronize really beautifully with the needs of this project.
So, Em, what have you learned applying these theater skills or these art making skills to this scientific endeavor?
That's a great question. For me, working in art is about looking inside and outside of people and finding methods and finding ways to materialize things that are inarticulable It's, and because I work particularly in kinetic arts, and I work in the body and I work in space, it's about things that go beyond the literal, and things that go beyond the reductive and the measurable. And so a project like this is about, you know, this whole project and venture has been such a remarkable endeavor of collaboration and has brought together so many different forces from so many different corners of the world, from so many different ideologies, from so many different, you know, places of humanity, and the opportunity to coalesce those into this single celebration of human achievement is incredible. These are things that I have imagined. I don't know that I could have imagined them manifesting in the way that they have. Of course, there's been ups and downs. There always are. And of course, there's hiccups. And of course, there's problem solving. But that's why you have a team. That's why you have a team. You work through those hiccups and those glitches along the way. I think there's been, through this venture, there's been a remarkable level of perspective that has been found through their participants, and the way that art, that science, that foundations, that religions have come together in a way that they seek that enmeshed ground that they all value and that drives them all towards a future rather than focusing on differences. So the biggest question and challenge for me has been, how do you then create a physical space? It's one thing to talk through all those things. It's one thing to have meetings about all those things. But how do you create a physical space that invites and celebrates and elevates all these different minds, backgrounds, and humans? Which is an incredible challenge, because as we know, bringing people together in a concentrated space can go well and it can go bad.
Yeah, absolutely. And, so what kind of... what kind of spaces have you been investigating in preparation for bringing together all of these different elements of the arts and sciences?
Yes. So my primary background has been in festival making, and festival making specifically as a means of community building and of addressing issues of fragmentation, of finding ways that you have events that resonate far beyond the happening itself. And an event like this kind of fits perfectly within that background.
Do you use specific like space relations, or how do you prepare guests? I mean, everybody who's coming to this event has a certain expectation of what's going to happen, right? Mm-hmm. We're here to celebrate this vast human achievement. How do you field people's expectations with the, I think, desired outcome of the project?
I think, first of all, it's so important to focus on, you know, the opportunity to celebrate achievement is imperative for human beings, I think. Projects like this have been the culmination of incredible amounts of resources that have been invested, material resources, personal resources, people's hopes, people's energy. And, you know, I think celebratory events almost provide a fuel where people have been draining themselves. So finding a space, finding, you know, a place like Edinburgh that has set a precedent for collectivity and community and celebration of the human spirit. That itself, that geography and topography is embedded with, you know, a precedent for that. You know, the festivals are not just about one thing. Edinburgh is never just about one thing. It's about many, many different things, many different ideas, many different ways of thinking and being and navigating the world. So finding, you know, kind of like a little physical oasis within the frenzy that is the Edinburgh festivals to channel all of the things that those people are doing and saying and thinking at this time and in this place is, you know, as long as you set the foundation and set the groundwork and set the bricks and mortar and the stone, I think people are so buzzing with that energy and want to come together and celebrate. So the trick of events like this is finding the infrastructure that invites everybody into the room, that invites everybody to the table, and that lets the best of everybody, you know, just kind of spill out. And it happens through having just places for people to connect and collide, you know, having you know, little things like having places for people to sit, places for people to dance, music that you know, kind of channels through people and that brings people together, places for people to have solace and quiet, places for people to just let their energy out and explode.
So you're saying that the physical arrangement of the space makes a difference in how people are able to express their celebration.
You know, in my work, I'm always thinking about traversals of space, whether it's a project that I'm designing that involves multiple sites and venues throughout a city, or whether it's a project that happens in one room in one night. Those opportunities for collisions between people are the same. And those opportunities to bring people together that just need a little bit of like science and methodology behind them can make all the difference when it comes to allowing for cultural collisions in the best possible way.
So we've heard a lot about arranging spaces to make them friendly for different types of human activity. I know that on this podcast, we've talked a lot with social scientists about how one would create a structure that is conducive to different kinds of activities and creating the best possible human culture. Do you see that relating to your work and how you're building this event?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I believe that the questions we ask about space are the same questions that we ask about equity. And space use and space access implies and carries with it so much weight about how we think about the people who use that space, how we grant access to that space, how we allow that space to be used. And when we make decisions that can either censor, separate, or bring together or elevate, all of those have residual implications for the people that are using that space. I'm coming purely from kind of cultural design and cultural expression in urban spaces. I'm not as adept to kind of the social science and psychological ideas. Mine are more about like urban space use ideas. I hope that we're finding a lot of overlap there because we found it to be effective in the use of urban space and the design of urban space. That anytime you have moments to celebrate, elevate, and lift the integral aspects of a person, you know, people blossom and people rise to the occasion. And whenever you censor, separate, or divide, conflict will arise. Now, sometimes conflict can be productive. I don't want to be like, you know, overly utopian in the way that I'm talking about space use. But I think that there's a constant process of adaptation and change and awareness of not only who we are as these individual fleshy beings, but how we navigate space and how we interact with each other and the kind of symbolic space that we create with one another, as well as, you know, the material space that we surround ourselves with or that we construct around ourselves to facilitate that to happen.
So you're saying that you're constructing a space to allow for people to be their best selves, but that is an enormous ask from designing a space for a party to happen.
It is.
how do you get from party to people bringing their best selves by the arrangement of chairs?
Yeah. Well, first of all, it's not only the arrangement of chairs. It's what the room offers and what the room invites. I think it's imperative at any kind of event that's looking into culture and looking into people, you know, theater, parties, whatever it is, that it's inviting people to kind of turn themselves inside out, to bring their ideas to the forefront. I mean, you know, at a great party, hopefully at a great party, there's a mix of things that happen. There's amazing conversations that are had. There's relationships that are deepened. There's new acquaintances that are made. And there's physical release. you know, there's dancing, there's sound, there's new ideas that are introduced, whether it's through conversation or whether it's through something at the event. So, you know, things that I'm thinking about this event at this event are making sure that the context of everything that has gone into this project is present, and that there's opportunities to encounter and interact with the many, many, many different facets that have gone into Senna.
It gives me such joy to hear that the same level and care that has been put into the design of the Senna and to this project, to this whole release of going out into deep space and seeing if we can make contact with another species. I love that that same level of care shows up through every aspect of this project. So,
yes.
In how the ship is designed, in how the generations are planned, but also in how we celebrate those generations and
absolutely.
In how we celebrate what these people are giving up and what these people are gaining as they leave us.
Yes.
Is that something that comes up for you in planning this party? It is such a celebration, but at the same time, for so many of the crew members, it's also an opportunity for them to say goodbye to their families, to their home planet, to everything they've ever known. We barely have the language to describe what that is. How on earth are you preparing for that?
I think it is so imperative to give the same depth and care of thought that we do to, you know, the interior design of a multi-generational space vessel, that we do to the care and design that we give to the multi-generational spaces that we live in here on Earth. We can be thinking about those and sharing those conversations between artists, between culture workers, between social, you know, people who work in social contexts and settings, as we do, you know, in sciences and in these kind of more concrete ideas. There's such overlap there, and it's so refreshing to be in a setting that seeks that middle ground and legitimizes it and elevates it. As far as this event being a celebration as well as a goodbye, kind of, you know, just like I said before about taking the care here that we take with these with this group that's leaving. This is a goodbye. It's a well wishing and a farewell and to people that we're never going to see again in our lifetime. That maybe generations beyond will hopefully connect. But that's a long goal. It's a long shot. And
I find the enormity difficult to process.
Yeah. Yes, we're sending people on to a new life. That's also marking a new moment for us here on Earth. So it's a celebration for both. There's an element of ritual, I think, that this event taps into. You know, we have coming of age rites and rituals. We have celebrations of achievement, you know, from celebrating a preschool graduation to celebrating a pinnacle of human achievement like this, that indicate a shift of one state of being to another, from childhood to adulthood, from, you know, there's all kinds of celebrations and rituals that we've employed over the age of humanity. And this is, in many ways, a culmination of all those rituals. You know, the value that I hold so much in the work that I do and in my heart and in myself is in these enmeshed spaces. In these spaces where we connect with one another more deeply by sharing space and sharing rooms that look at the individuality and personal histories of one another here on Earth. And I think we're going to have such incredible opportunity to do that with the residents of Proxima B. I hope that the generations to come value the importance of shared cultural space and shared cultural identity and celebration of cultural differences as much as we are always in an ongoing process of learning to do here, and that they're able to share that with their new acquaintances.
Join us at the International Coalition's official launch party at La Belle Angèle on August 16th at 10 p.m. join the crew of the Lux de Terra, key members of the coalition, and local band The Blueswater, and a DJ set from sound designer Miles Avery as we toast this amazing new phase in human history and dance the night away. Purchase your tickets at www.luxdeterra.com/launch. When we return, a sneak peek at the music you'll hear at the launch party. Please, stay close. Welcome back to the special pre-launch episode of Transmission Podcast. In advance of the Sena launch, we wanted to take this chance to open up the airwaves to you, our listeners. Do you have anything special to say to the crew? Questions, greetings, or thoughts to send to the Lux de Terrans? Or maybe you just want to let them know what you've been up to recently? To answer this call, we received many responses from around the world. Here's what some of our listeners have to offer.
Why, hello there. My name is Peter Michael Marino. I'm from New York City, and I am coming to the Edinburgh Festival Fringe to do my show and to see shows and to find shows and to be inspired by shows. My show is called Show Up. It is a one-man improvised comedy based on the horrible experiences of the entire audience, and it's playing at the Counting House every day at 3:30. I would like to ask any aliens listening why they're waiting so long to come down and say hello. I mean, I think I've seen alien ships in the sky, and I certainly believe that aliens have done an awful lot to create many of the wonderful structures and civilizations that we have here on Earth. As a matter of fact, I talk about aliens an awful lot in my show, because when I get depressed, I like to watch TV shows about aliens because they give me hope. If any aliens are in Edinburgh, please come to my show and reveal yourselves. That would be awesome. And if you're shy being around people, which is also what Show Up is about, that's called social anxiety, I'd be happy to meet you on Arthur's Seat any day or night. You are an inspiration, Sayana. Look forward to hearing more from you. Over and out. This is Pete.
Is this stupid thing recording? There we go. Okay. Hello, crew of the Senya. This is Communications Officer Doug Eiffel broadcasting from the USS Hephaestus Station, orbiting Red Dwarf Star, Wolf 359. I hear you're heading towards a fiery death ball of your very own. Pro tip, if that Red Dwarf turns blue, run, don't walk. Okay, but now I'm curious. Here's a question for your comms officer. How much of a stick in the mud is your mission commander? Because I'm assuming they can't be more of a killjoy than mine. Because that'd be impossible, basically. I guess really what I'm asking is, can we trade? Anyway, look, I hear you're about to meet some aliens. Mazel tov! Would love to know if your aliens have anything that vaguely resembles a burrito. If not, please, for the good of mankind, enlighten them on the ultimate in caloric technology, would you? And if they're like some weird energy beings that don't need to eat, tell them we can't be friends.
Alrighty, I gotta run and pretend to look busy. So this is Communications Officer Doug Eiffel signing off. Oh, I almost forgot. Look, if you're listening to this and thinking, intergalactic slackers, eating space burritos, where has this been all my life? Then come on by www.wolf359.fm. And learn more about Webby-nominated audio drama podcast, Wolf 359. You can also subscribe to the show wherever you listen to podcasts. Just make sure to start at episode 1. And last but not least, you can follow us on Twitter at Wolf 359 Radio. Cool? Cool. Cool. Sayonara, folks.
Hello, crew of Sienna.
We're the team of Stage Manager's Guide to Dating Assholes.
Headlining at Venue 13 all August long.
Stage Manager's Guide to Dating Assholes is a feminist satire about dating in the theater world.
And stage managers.
And we have some questions for you to ask the aliens.
What is the number one alien dating app?
Do aliens have gender roles? Do they even have gender?
Do you have flying pigs in space? And if so, can we borrow one for our show?
Thanks, guys, and good luck on your mission.
Don't forget to join us at the Senna launch party on August 16th, 10 p.m. at La Belle Angèle. If the mission to Luxottera marks the pinnacle of human achievement, the launch party promises to be the ultimate fete. Until then, we have one more message from our listeners to share with you. Everyone has something they want to say to the Luxottarans, including the main act of our launch party, local Edinburgh band Blueswater.
Hello, Commander Karam and the Senna crew. My name is Felipe Schreiberg. I'm based here in Edinburgh, though originally from California. And I'm here at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival because I'm performing with my band, the Blueswater, at the doing a history of blues music in Surgeon's Hall with a 12-piece band. But doing something like that isn't anything compared to going off to find new civilizations in space. So we wish you all the best. Now, if you're going to be going off into space for 100 years or something nuts like that, I recommend while you're in Edinburgh, you should probably drink all the whiskey you can. Maybe even take some with you. There's been whiskey taken up into space, I believe, so the stuff does survive a space voyage. I would go with the Scotch Malt Whiskey Society myself. But in any case, I hope you guys have an incredible mission. I hope you guys discover many incredible things. And you're an inspiration, Svein. Have an excellent trip, an excellent voyage.
Got on the bus by the morning light. Got to the ferry by twilight. Right in the form by midnight. Oh man, those are what I like. Wanna feel that smoke run down my throat. I wanna feel it on my tongue. Wanna still feel that lovely thing after my glass is done. Give me my whiskey. Give me my whiskey. Give me my whiskey. Give me my, give me my whiskey, give me my whiskey, give me my whiskey, give me my. Well, ask me why I ain't working, I've been working on my drink. Was made from holy water, brings you back from the brink. Out here on the water, that's what that makes us lit. But if you touch my bottle, Lord, you know those thoughts will be. Give me my whiskey, give me my whiskey, give me my whiskey. Give me my, give me my whiskey, give me my whiskey, give me my whiskey, give me my.
Transmission Podcast, hosted by Cecilia Lynn Jacobs and produced by Ian Garrett and Kate Ladenheim. With special thanks to today's guests, M. Piro, Peter Michael Marino, Felipe Rodriguez of the Blueswater, the crew of Stage Manager's Guide to Dating Assholes, and Doug Eiffel of Wolf 359. This episode also featured Whiskey, a song by the Blueswater. Original composition and sound editing by Miles Avery. Transmission is a podcast and performance series speculating on what might happen if we began to receive the popular broadcasts of intelligent alien life and follows two sisters selected to lead an interstellar mission to make first contact. Learn more about our team and upcoming performances at luxcetera.com and find us on Facebook and Twitter at Luxcetera. That's LuxTaterra. Transmission is a production of Toaster Lab in Canada and is a fiscally sponsored project of Fractured Atlas in the United States.